Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please open your Bibles. Today we are going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and we are going to read the first 20 verses of this fourth chapter. So please follow me at verse 1. And so we read, "And he," this is Yeshua, "began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And here I'm stopping with the first 20 verses that are found in Mark chapter 4. Well, these are very, very interesting verses, beloved brothers and sisters. These are the words that our Lord Yeshua the Messiah spoke in Israel, in the northern area of the land of Israel, by the Sea of Galilee, where he was ministering there, not too far from Kfar Nahum. He was ministering the word of God to the multitude that came to hear his word. You know, it is so beautiful to see how Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, was a teacher of the word of God. He was an expounder of the word of God. Remind me of Luke chapter 24, when those two disciples who came down from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus, and he met them on the way, and he explained to them how he was the one that was promised to be the Messiah. And when they returned back, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he talked to us by the way, and when he opened unto us the scripture?" This is what the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah is doing all the time. He teaches, he preaches, he ministers the word of God. He's expounding and he's teaching things in order that those that hear him will understand the reason that he came down to this earth. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, we must remember the context. Text without its context is pretext. Remember that in those days the church was not found as yet. He's speaking to Israel, our nation, as a nation. In fact, let me just remind you, if you just go back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, after Yohanan, John the Baptizer, was presenting the Messiah of Israel, and he was presenting the fact that the Messiah is coming, that the Redeemer is coming. And you remember how all Jerusalem and Judea came down to hear what John the Baptizer was saying. Then in chapter 1, in verse 14 and 15, we read, "Now after that John was put in prison, Yeshua came into Galilee preaching," listen, "the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying," verse 15, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel," the Besorah. You see, Yeshua, the Messiah himself, was preaching the fact that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, meaning Malchut HaElohim. The king is coming. The kingdom is going to be established. Believe the message of the gospel. Repent, believe, and you will see that the kingdom will be established. But we know very well what happened. The kingdom could not be established because our people Israel were not ready to accept the king. In fact, if you remember in chapter 3, which we just finished in our last ministry meeting, the leaders of our own people said that what Yeshua was doing in the power of the Spirit of God, they said that he did it in the power of Baal Zvuv, the prince of the fly, the lord of the fly, which was Satan himself. Well, if the leaders of Israel, the spiritual leaders of Israel, do not accept that he is the Mashiach who is going to establish the kingdom, well, how can the kingdom will be established? And that's why, if you remember, we said, we understood from chapter 3 that they have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. They have blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God, saying that Yeshua the Messiah was healing and was taking out demons from people, that he did it in the power of Satan, and because of this, the kingdom was postponed. And we live today in the days of what we call the church age. The kingdom is yet to come that was promised to the people of Israel, but it had been postponed because Israel as a nation, our own people, did not accept the Mashiach, Yeshua, as his first coming. So Yeshua continued to teach. He's teaching. He's a teacher. You remember that Nicodemus came to him and says, "We know that thou art a man, a teacher, that came from God. You came from God. Because no one does the miracles that you are doing. You are a teacher that came from God." So the teacher, the Messiah, who is the servant of the Lord, continuing his teaching. And I tell you, we must learn from the Master. We must learn the word of God from the supreme teacher, from the Rabbi of the Rabbis, the teacher of all teachers. His name is Jesus, is Yeshua. And so in chapter 4, as we arrive to Mark chapter 4, in this beautiful section, verses 1 to 20, the Messiah teaches the parable of the soils. Some call it the parable of the sower. Some call it the parable of the seed. But we can see that the sower and the seed is not mentioned as much as the soils. What is a soil? In Hebrew we call it adama or karka. And the soils have four different conditions. Four different conditions of soils which the sower sow seeds upon. In fact, we learn here from this passage that there is a soil that is called by the wayside. Another soil is called the stony ground. Another soil is called among thorns. And a fourth soil condition was a good ground, good soil. And what we really learn, beloved brothers and sisters, here in this passage, that the message of the gospel, the Besorah, the word of God, is preached, but those that hear that message are in a different conditions. The word is the same, the message is the same, the gospel of the grace of God is the same. The gospel of the kingdom of God which he preached was the same. Nothing changed. But the condition of the soils is different. In fact, I heard the other day that some group of believers are gathered together in order for them to figure out how can we preach the word of God that will be suitable for people so they will accept the word of God. And someone said, "Wait a minute. Are we preaching the word of God to accommodate people in order that they will accept the word of God? Are we going to change it and make it more suitable for them so they will be so happy to accept it?" No. The message is the same. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." The message is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men need to repent and accept the Messiah who died for his or her sins and was buried and resurrected. The gospel cannot be changed. The problem is not with the gospel message. The problem is not with the word of God. The problem is with the condition of the heart. In order for the message of the gospel to enter into men's heart, men have to be cultivated by the Spirit of God and develop, you might say, a good condition where the word of God will make an effect upon him or upon her. We cannot trick people by giving them some kind of easy message that they will like more. You see, some people don't like to be called sinners. Well, so what are we going to do? Are we going to change the Bible and say, "No, we are pretty good people. We can change it. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, what the Lord is trying to teach here in this passage, the importance of the condition of the heart. And dear beloved brothers and sisters, it is so important to understand that we cannot soften the message or harden the message. We have to give the sincere milk of the Word of God in order for it to be an effect upon an individual and ultimately bring a person to the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah. Well, again, to remind you, the context is in the land of Israel. The context is Yeshua the Messiah came at his first coming. He didn't die as yet on the cross, on the tree. He knows that he's going to die, but he's presenting before the people of Israel the fact that he was the promised Messiah. And as we read already in chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel." Believe the Besorah, the message of the Word of God. And so in chapter 4, it's so beautiful. You will notice that here now the Messiah, namely Yeshua, he's teaching. And he's teaching the parable of the soils. That helps us to grasp what kind of a beautiful teacher Yeshua the Messiah was. And so in the first 9 verses, Yeshua present before the multitude that came after him the parable of the seed which fell upon 4 kind of soils. Again, to remind you for a moment, that it says here in verse 1 of chapter 4, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, just imagine, if you have been in Israel with me or with any person, if you visited the land of the Bible, the land of Israel, you know that the sea, of course, is the Kinneret, called the Sea of Galilee. There in the north of Israel, the Sea of Galilee is situated and all surrounded by mountains. Further north, of course, is the Golan Heights, but all this in Galilee, the mountains of Galilee. The sea is an important part of the land of Israel. Either need the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret, because out of the Kinneret much water is being brought for the nation of Israel to drink. The Kinneret has to be filled in order for Israel to draw drinking water. Now, the Sea of Galilee is being filled from the Jordan that comes down all the way from Mount Hermon, all the water to fall down into the Sea of Galilee, to the Kinneret, and then go out from the Sea of Galilee and poured all the way down into the Dead Sea, Yam HaMelech. And there it ends. It dies. It becomes salty water. And so he is now in the Galil, in the north of Israel. And what happened? There are multitude who followed after him. So many people are coming after him and they want to be healed by him. They want the demons to be taken away from them, their nation. Remember, these are Jewish people that come from all over the land of Israel and even beyond Israel. If you remember, we studied in chapter 3 that it says in verse 7, "But Yeshua withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from the Galil follow after him. And from Yehuda came after him, from Jerusalem and Edom, beyond the Jordan, Tyre and Sidon, multitude they came to hear what he has to say, because they have heard of the great things that he have done." Now multitude are coming after him. It is amazing. Those are the people that belong to the nation of Israel. They coming to hear what he has to say. And so you know what he did? The multitude so much pressed him that at the time he couldn't even eat. So what did he do? Chapter 4, verse 1, that he himself entered into a ship, and then he went into the sea itself, but the rest of the multitude stayed on shore, and they were all around there in the little hills there in the Galil. Now it became like a theater. You might say, he's on the sea, the people there, the multitudes are there on shore, and he presents before them, he's sharing with them, and he's teaching them the word of God. Again, brothers and sisters, we are not talking about 100 people or 1,000 people, multitude. There must be tens of thousands who came there to listen to the servant of the Lord Yeshua himself. Entering into a ship, it became like an amphitheater. His voice was carried out, and they could hear him all as he teach them directly from the boat, from the ship. And we read here in verse 2 as well, not only that he entered while the multitude were outside on the shore, Yeshua taught them, and the word parables is mentioned here immediately at the beginning of this passage. It says in verse 2, he taught them. But notice, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Notice the word parable comes from the Greek word parabolo or parabalo or parabela. Para means to cast alongside. In Hebrew we call it meshalim or mashal. It comes from the book of Proverbs. He spoke unto them in illustration to teach them spiritual lessons. Parables, parabolos, meshalim simply mean to cast alongside, to tell a story and to illustrate what he really wanted to say to the multitude of people. Somebody said that a good teacher who knows how to teach the word, and he's going to be a really good teacher, is a person who knows to illustrate spiritual things by telling stories. And the story illustrates many, many spiritual things. And you know, brothers and sisters, it is something that was done throughout the history of our people Israel by the prophets of Israel, by the men and women of God of old whom God had raised among the people of Israel. The Proverbs were written by Solomon. The prophets have been teaching in many times in parable, whether it is Ezekiel was taught through a parable, and many others have been taught and teaching through parables. Why? Because there is an illustration. They teach a spiritual lesson. Even if you remember King David, when he sinned against Bathsheba, and how the prophet told him, let me tell you a story. A certain man had only one lamb. And then another man came and took that one little lamb that belonged to that certain man. And you remember the whole story and how eventually David was so upset that this man have taken that little lamb from another, and he said that man ought to be killed. And the prophet said to him, you are that man. He told him a story and he taught him a spiritual lesson. And we learn this throughout the scripture. Parables after parables after parables were taught in Scripture to teach Israel and to teach even you and I today spiritual things through those stories. Some call them earthly stories with heavenly meanings. We would call them stories that illustrate spiritual lessons. And here, notice that in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine. And now, beloved brothers and sisters, from Mark 4, verse 3 to 9, he gives them a parable of the four soils. Four types and four kinds of ground upon which the seed is fallen. And so he began, you notice that in verses 3 to verse 9, the parable, we find that first of all, he speaks about the sower that went out to sow seeds. I'm reading verse 3. Hearken! He says, listen! I want you to listen to what I have to tell you. He says, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, perhaps he was just doing that justice. He was looking up in the little hills of Galilee and he was pointing to everyone, hey, look at this. Here's a sower that is walking there upon the mountainy fields of Galilee and he's sowing. What does he sow? Obviously, he sows seeds. And of course, you notice, he make an illustration. How can he say, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and he began now to tell them upon which soils the seed fell. And so you notice now from verses 4 all the way to verse 8, Yeshua is presenting the four kinds of grounds or soils upon which the seed fell. And notice we read, and I'm reading that. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Second soil, verse 5, some fell on a stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. That's the second soil. Then thirdly, in verse 7, the third soil in its condition, it said, some fell among thorns, and the thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And finally, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 8, he gave us the four kind of soil, of ground, and he said in verse 8, others fell on a good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, interesting. Imagine he's there in the ship, in the boat, on the water of the Sea of Galilee. The multitude, thousands are there that followed after him, who wanted to be healed and being taken care of, were listening to what the Messiah, Yeshua, is speaking unto them. He is looking around and he sees a man that is sowing seeds, and he is pointing to this man, and he's saying, the sower went out to sow seeds, and here are the kind of grounds upon which the seeds fell. Very interesting illustration. And he wanted to teach them a very important spiritual lesson. A lesson that will help them. Now again, I would like you to remember, the people to whom he spoke were the people of Israel.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.